In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.
Brothers and sisters, we heard one of the Lord's most difficult teachings in today's Gospel reading. It's a teaching about how difficult it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples, on hearing this, said, Lord, who can be saved? Who can be saved? Of course, the Lord's response is that with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is a subject that is very much in the forefront of our minds today, this idea of riches and poverty, the haves and the have-nots. And we often look for reform and change, a social revolution, if you will. And we've seen this historically, and we wonder, some of us, if our nation is on the brink of this revolution to change things, to make things equal, to make things right, to establish, in a sense, a kingdom of God. And the Lord goes out and he preaches and he offers entrance into this kingdom, and he tells them the way in. He tells us the way in. And the way in is not something that is done through governments. The way in is not something that is done by force, by compulsion, by taking and giving, by redistribution. And this is not a political sermon. This is a spiritual sermon. The Lord's ways are different. The Lord's ways are different. He has a way into the kingdom for those who are poor and for those who are rich. You know, today is December 1st, and on December 1st, we celebrate the memory of St. Philaret the Merciful. Some of you know St. Philaret. We've spoken about him in the past. Let me quickly summarize his life for you, and then we'll look at two other things. This will be a three-part sermon: the life of St. Philaret, a conversation that happens over this Thanksgiving weekend, will be part two. And then part three will be an image for us, something for us to consider. First, St. Philaret. He was born in the 8th century, and he was a nobleman. He married a noble woman, Theoseva, who was very wealthy. They lived in Asia Minor, in the region of Paphlagonia, and they lived in a village there, and they were of great wealth, great wealth. They had, it says in the life, some 30 servants, that they had people who were working to manage the great property that he had. It also says that he was in charge of different villages in the region, that he was a man of this extreme wealth, this extreme riches. But he was a man who was not only rich in an earthly sense, but rich in a heavenly sense. He was rich towards God. And he was a man of great generosity. As much as he was wealthy, he was generous. And he started to distribute his wealth to the poor. Now, he was a married man, and he had 3 children, and some of them had children. And they all lived together in this household. And as he distributed his wealth, you could hear some grumbling, because he had to care for his family. He had to provide for those entrusted to his care. And this is a virtuous thing, to provide for those entrusted to our care. And the people were upset. His wife was upset. His family was upset. But still, St. Philaret was generous. Now, it came to pass that the Islamic armies, which were mobilizing themselves at this time, came to the region of Paphlagonia, and they had an incursion there, and they carried off his servants, and they took and destroyed much of his lands and his property. And he was left not poor, but not as wealthy as he was. He had just a couple of oxen left. It says that he had a few beehives. He had a horse, he had a cow and a calf. He had these more meager possessions. And he went out and he plowed his fields himself instead of having the servants do this for him. And he went out and he worked hard himself. And one day he was in the field and his neighbor came, and his neighbor was weeping because he had borrowed some money to acquire an oxen, and his oxen had died. And he was going to use the oxen to pay back the money that he had borrowed and provide for his family, and he had no way to do this. And St. Philaret has 2 oxen, and he says, take one of them. So the neighbor takes one, and his wife gets a little bit upset, you know, because They've lost their great wealth, and now kind of they're struggling, and he's still giving stuff away. And the man then comes a couple of days later, he says that, in greater tears, that the ox that you had given me, but the ox died, that it ate something poisonous. And he's coming and apologizing to Phileret. And Phileret says, take the other oxen. And now the wife becomes a little bit more furious, and perhaps you might say, rightly so. And even in, it's recorded in the life of St. Phileret, this kind of argument that they have. The wife talks about how he's got to provide for the family, and St. Phileret talks about how God will provide for them. And St. Phileret has this wonderful faith in God. He ends up giving away his other items as well, and he's left with just about nothing, except for a little bit of gold that he uses to buy some grain. He buys his grain, and on his way back, he distributes half of that. The wife says, why don't you give him more? Give the poor more. So he does. He gives more. She's only being sarcastic with him, and he gives more. And she's more infuriated. And the very next day, they receive baskets full of grain from a wealthy neighbor who's repaying the debt that St. Phileret had once given him generously. And the family is provided for. Now, it came to pass at this time, the first ever recorded bride trot happens. Anyone know what a bride trot is? It's not the most wonderful of terms, but it's basically where a bride is needed for the king to be. And they send out emissaries, and this happened from the city of Constantinople. Empress Irene, who's looking for a bride for her son Constantine VI, sends out emissaries throughout the region. And they come to bring these brides back to the city of Constantinople, the imperial city, to have this bride trot, and the emperor is going to choose his bride. Trot them all before. So they come to the region of Paphlagonia, and they see this big house, this house that Phileret lived in with his family. And they come to the house, and they say, it must be a nobleman who lives here. Who's the owner of this house? And Phileret introduces himself, and he invites them in. And he says, stay for dinner. Now, just remember what's going on. The wife has nothing. She has no food. And now he's just invited an imperial ambassador into their home. So she's, again, up in arms. And Phileret says, just prepare the table. Prepare the table, warm the stove, God will provide. And what happens is all of the neighbors in the area, who Phileret had been so generous to, they bring over food. They bring over provisions. And there's great feast is had at the home of Phileret. Now these emissaries say to Phileret, you know, you've shown us wonderful hospitality. You're a man of great wealth. Do you have any daughters? And Phileret says, yes, I have two. And actually, some of them have children. And they asked to see these daughters and to see these grandchildren. And he says, we're not what you're looking for. That we're not what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody of kind of prominence, and we're just simple people here. And yet, the emissaries prevail, and they get Phileret to bring forth his family. And when he brings the granddaughters in, one of them is named Mary. When he brings in Mary, the emissaries see what they believe to be the future queen. And they ask Phileret and his whole family to come to the imperial city of Constantinople. And they have this bride trot, and as God's providence would have it, she is chosen to be the queen. But she marries Constantine VI, and Phileret and his family obtain even greater wealth than they had ever had. Now, Phileret had promised to his family, he said to his family when they were poor after having been so generous, he said, God will provide. And not only will he provide for us in our simple needs, but he is preparing for us great wealth and great treasures. Now, when St. Phileret said this, he was talking about the kingdom of heaven that they would be able to enter through their generosity. He had no idea that God was preparing something even for him on earth. And Phileret comes to this imperial city. And again, he's a man of generosity. He receives all of this wealth, and he begins again to distribute it. He calls his family, says, gather everybody together as a family. We're going to put on a banquet for the king and for his nobles. And they gather everybody together, they prepare all the food, Filaret goes out, and he finds 200 people in the city who are poor and brings them in. And the family feeds them. And he encourages the family members to take of their gold and give each person a gold coin. Every person who was there received a gold coin. Now Filaret would go around the city with three bags, and you can see in the icon there these three bags. He had one bag full of gold coins, one of silver, and one of copper. And he would go out and he would meet the needs of those poor people. But he would do it in a way that was somewhat strange. He had these three bags, and he wouldn't look in to see which bag he was reaching into when he came across somebody who was poor, but he would just grab whatever came out, and he would give it to the person, trusting that God in his providence would give the person what they needed. Filaret lived this humble, generous life. And when it came time for his life to end, God revealed to him that he would die in 10 days. So he went to this monastery in Constantinople, the Monastery of the Great Judgment, and there he gave a donation to the abbess and he asked to be buried there. And he assembled his family around him, and he spoke to his family, and he told them that they should be generous, that they should be merciful, that God would provide for them in this life and in the next, and that in so doing, they would be able to perform his will, and they would be saved, even though they were rich. He gave them the answer to this great challenge of how to be saved if we have wealth, how a rich man can enter the kingdom of God. And he gave this to his children as an inheritance, as a spiritual inheritance, much more valuable than the wealth that they had received, this key to the kingdom of God. Now, St. Filaret reposed, and they had a funeral, and as is expected, many people attended this funeral, and they praised Filaret for his generosity and for his merciful, loving kindness to the poor. St. Filaret is an example for us, and there are many examples of those who God entrusted great wealth to, but who, having received that wealth, entrusted it back to God in the poor. Now, let's move to part two. It's a conversation that happened between two priests on Thanksgiving weekend. And this conversation was about events that were going on in the life of their parishes. Priests were speaking about things that they had seen and things that God was doing amongst them. And they spoke about this in an anonymous fashion, and I'll share it with you in that same fashion, because there are real people involved. Now, one priest said that he had received a phone call from a gentleman who wanted to have a meeting, and he had the meeting with the gentleman, and the man said that he had found some $24,000 of savings bonds. And he called the church because he knew that these saving bonds really were the property of the church. But he said to the priest, he said, you know, I'm kind of the finder of these bonds, and I'd like to have half of the money. I'd like to have half of it. Now, in the past, this man's close relative had previously tried to take an inheritance away from the church for herself. So the court got involved. And what happened was, though, before the judgment could be pronounced, and it would have been pronounced in favor of the church, the man died. In a sense, an appeal was made to a higher court, and the man was judged because he was trying to deceive God and to steal from his church. Now that's the story of one priest, and this happened just very recently in the parish. The story of the other priest, and it's a little bit more positive. In fact, it's a lot more positive. That was a negative story. This is a positive story. The priest was talking about how he was meeting with this couple who had gone through struggles in their life, and they were looking to get things back on track with God. And the priest was talking about how he was meeting with them weekly, sometimes for 2 hours. They would meet, and they would talk about everything in their life, the spiritual things, the practical things, the financial things, everything, to help them order things in a way that's pleasing to God, to get things back on track. And these meetings went on for a number of months, and the family was making some progress. And the priest said that after one meeting they had, it was meeting late in the evening, they had this meeting. And the priest said that after that meeting, he felt that they had finally turned the corner, They had finally decided to leave the vices that they had practiced in the past, those bad habits in the past, that they had decided to no longer bear grudges and resentments, to have a clean slate for the future, and to practice their lives in a virtuous manner before God. And the priest was talking about how he felt so great about this. And then the priest spoke about a phone call he received that very next morning. The phone call was from the couple, and they said that after their meeting last night, that they had received a phone call from a relative, and they had received an inheritance. These young people who were struggling to get their life back on track, who had so many difficulties, and one of their difficulties, by the way, was debt. They had $13,000 of debt, and they had a car that they couldn't fix. And they received this inheritance, and you know what that inheritance was for? $14,000. The amount they needed to pay off their debt, to have a clean slate, and to fix their car. God had provided for them because they chose a life of virtue. They chose to be faithful in all things. Now, this couple would surely say that they're not perfect. They would surely say that there's much to do, much maturing to be had, much spiritual growth for the future. But they would also say that God met them where they were at, that they began to reform their life and to be faithful and to make those difficult decisions, to put Him first. And then He provided for them in a way that they would never expect. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to transition now to the third thing in today's sermon, and this is an image. It's the season of Christmas. It's the season of the cold, actually, at least for us in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's a season where we often look for warmth. We look for warmth in a physical way. We look for warmth in a spiritual way. We want our hearts to be warmed. You know, we have a fireplace in the rectory here. It's a wood-burning fireplace. And we run that all the time now because it provides this warmth for us. And I was told not too long ago that one of the best ways to get your fire going, to really have a roar in that fire, is to make sure that the logs in there are close to one another so that they radiate the heat back and forth. That one log will heat the other, and then back and forth, it'll create a blaze, it'll create a fire. St. John Chrysostom, he says many wonderful things. One of the things that it's in your today's bulletin on the front page, it's a quote. He says that if just 10 of us live a holy life, it will light up the whole city. It'll light up the whole city. Brothers and sisters, we are given a wonderful opportunity in the church, and that's to be close to one another, to receive this warmth and fire of God, to become ablaze by it, to become enlightened by it and warmed by it, and to radiate that heat back and forth. St. Philaret today does that for us. Nobody can remain cold when you hear about the life of St. Philaret. Nobody can remain cold when you hear about what God has done for people who are close to us. In today's day and age, perhaps even in our own church, if we are people of faith, if we are people of virtue, if we are people who ask God to give us that fire of His divine grace, if we're people who cling together and share that love and that grace and that energy and that power of God with one another, this church will become, like St. John Chrysostom, that light that lights up a whole city. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful image for us. Let us follow the example of St. Philaret, who pursued virtue. Let us avoid the pitfall of the person who practiced vice and met his judgment. Let us be people who put our faith and our trust in God and live a life that's pleasing to Him. And let us be people who expect and look forward to God's gifts and His blessings, because they will come. And when they come, let us share them, let us radiate those blessings, and let us, by that fire, that spiritual fire, draw others to the light of Jesus Christ. One thing that I do want to offer as an epilogue to the sermon, and it'll be short, but I think it should be said, because we spoke about the wife of St. Philaret, Theoseva. And in a sense, in the sermon, we gave her a bad rap, because she wasn't as faithful, let's say, as her husband, Philaret, was. Yet, something happened in her life after the repose of her husband. After her husband died, she became generous as he was, filled with mercy. And one of the things she did is she went back to Paphlagonia, this area that was ravaged by Islamic incursions, and she helped to restore the region by building churches, by renovating and repairing the monasteries that were damaged, by helping the poor. That she picked up where her husband left off, in a sense. And we might say, well, she didn't have to do that because she was not in the wrong to begin with. She was just caring for her family, that this was a virtuous thing. And to be sure, it is, and it was for her. It was a virtuous thing to care for one's family. But what happened in her life, and this is what is so wonderful, and this is potentially there for us too, is that she went from ordinary to extraordinary. She saw that the faith of her husband was extraordinary, and she saw that God's blessings were extraordinary, and she wanted that. She had a taste of that, and she couldn't let go of that. And that's why she lived her life in this extraordinary fashion from the time of his repose. For us, brothers and sisters, ordinary is there for us. We can live ordinary Christian lives, and there's a blessing in that. Not doing wrong to other people, not hurting other people, offering some service to our neighbor when we can. But everything is a matter of degree. St. Philaret wanted fullness. He wanted extraordinary. It's for us to decide what we want. God will bless us if we live as ordinary Christians, so bless us in an extraordinary way if we desire to be extraordinary Christians. Everything is free, no compulsion. No one's going to force us. I think if we make that effort for extraordinary and we taste it just a little bit in our lives, we'll never go back. Never go back to ordinary having tasted extraordinary. And that's what is offered to us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.